This is the Rush Hour Podcast. Sell your car the right way without the aggro. See how at sellmycar.com.au.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
This man is the sole responsible man for this.
Put moron number two on the phone.
There's not enough O's in the word smooth.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, just have a look outside, Willis. That's how good we feel.
How good is an autumn day as this, Jim?
It's late May. I reckon the same thing happened last year. We talked about the Indian summer because it is beautiful. The best city in the world, of that there can be no doubt. March, April, May now.
Yes.
Not just March, April.
Yes, Jim.
The best, has the best of this city.
Magnificent.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yep.
Monday, of course, Damien Barrett about to join us. Talk about a big round of footy. Wow, it's all happening. Santo Chilaro, one of our favourites. Second hour, of course. A couple of old topics.
Yes.
One I'm a bit worried about, the top five social media feedback. We'll get to that in just a second, but hello to you, Bill.
G'day, Jimmy boy. G'day, listeners. And g'day to you, Leroy.
Shut up, mammoth.
Oh, that's Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
Hope he's all right. Had a bit of a spill the other night, Sammy.
Oh, we do hope he's all right.
Yeah, he's all right. He's tough. He's like a leather boot.
He is. Bloody oath he is.
Now, Jim.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, I was down in Geelong today. I had a meeting with Craig Kelly over a couple of things.
Geelong.
Oh, yes. What about that Friday, Jim? Magnificent. Mm-hmm. Well done, everyone concerned. Great game of footy, too, to start the round of footy.
Yep.
And just at the pub there,
what
Jim.
What did the bald-headed buzzard want?
We're just having a chat about some things.
Yeah, right.
I'll tell you what, the Cremorne.
Oh.
New tank beer there
you
the other day.
You can't plug your own joint, Bill.
Last week, new tank beer, Jim, which is just going.
We've heard all
is
about
singing.
That. Yes.
Today,
yes.
New TAB. New tab in there today, Jim.
What is this? Is this some sort of paid ad?
No. Just 5-1 group come in. Very good. And they've started this morning at 8 and they've finished at 4, Jim. So you can have a bet now.
Yeah, righto.
So thank you to them.
No, that's all good,
but,
Bill.
Anyway,
hello, Leroy, of course.
Yeah, we've done that, haven't we?
Yeah, we did that, Leroy.
Yeah.
We've had a go at that. So well done to that mob there, 5-1 group.
No, thank you, Bill.
And new tab. So it's just flying, Jim.
No, good.
Now, Mitchell Johnson.
Yes.
Mumbai have won the IPL, Jim. Did
what
you know
game,
that?
Too. 130 they were
that's all
protecting
they had to chase.
And 628.
Yes, and he got out, he got the wickets of old Tawara. And then Australian skipper Steve Smith for 51 in the last over.
Last over, they needed 11 with Smith at the crease.
Oh,
so you've got to think that they're getting him.
Gee, you would have thought. He finished with 3 for 26, Jono.
Yep,
and made a 13 not out, hit a 6.
Nice.
But that's a good win. I'd like to see, why can't we see any of that IPL, Jim?
They charged like a wounded bull for the rights, and I don't think any Australian carrier wants to spend it, to honest. Now, the State of Origin squads have been announced.
Yes.
Queensland have left out Billy Slater.
Billy Slater is out. That is unbelievable, Jim.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, speaking of Storm, Melbourne Storm played South Sydney in Perth.
Yes.
In Perth, Jim, on the weekend. They won 14-6. It was a tough game. Nice, tough game there, but over in Perth.
Yep. Chelsea have won the Premier League title.
They have, Chelsea.
By a mile from Tottenham, team.
Where did Leicester finish?
Yeah, good question. We're 11th. Leicester slipped down. Not sure where.
The Golden Boot, Jim. Guess who won it?
Who?
Your kid. He loves him.
Oh, from Tottenham.
Harry Kane.
Yeah.
29.
Nuts. And Jason Day played magnificent golf to get himself into a playoff at the Byron Nelson, and then three jabbed to allow Billy Horschel, I think, on the fifth playoff hole or the fourth playoff hole or whatever. So anyway, he's back. He's playing good golf is the good news.
It is.
Because he's had a long time.
So what did he miss? A little putt, did he?
Spluttering. About a 3.5 footer. We've all done that. We don't play it for a living, though. So he'd be disappointed. And now, Willis.
You've got to make those.
We've got MRP coming up. So we're going to find out next what's happening there with Damien Barrett.
This is Damo's Recovery Session.
The number one newsbreaker in football.
Coat Tire will help make your job happen. 13 15 52 or coattire.com.au. Triple M.
Great friends of Triple M Footy and, of course, the Rush Hour Coats Hire, and they bring us Damien Barrett every Monday. Hello, Purple.
Hello, Jim. And Bill and the Damien. Match Review panel continues to provide bemusement for us, doesn't it? I say bemusement because I don't know how Cunnington could have got off. I'm sure you're glad about that decision, Jim, but he has officially been cleared of that stomach punch on Bernie Vince bill on the weekend, which to me is as bemusing as it was last week when Trent Cotchin escaped at least a match penalty for his head hit on Lachie Neale. I reckon they've got a real serious issue with this now. I think you sometimes just have to step back from the game itself and the roles you've all got in it. Look at that incident and also look at the one last week with Cotchin on Neale and just ask yourself, is that going to be something we're going to tolerate? And clearly, the AFL mechanisms, Jim, say yes, it is.
Well, look, the only thing I will say, and we are all in this room except for Leroy, who's never met him, great friends of Menard Vince. Yep. We have dinner with him a couple of times a year. He's genuinely one of our great mates in footy. But what the hell is he doing going aground after being punched by a fist that was an inch away?
Yeah, are you
it
saying,
wouldn't have knocked my 10-year-old son George over.
Are you saying he stays?
Bernard, yes. What the Come hell? On, Bernard. If he just stands there and doesn't move and then go on, he's not even copping a grand.
Hang on, so you reckon he's created this drama?
I don't know. I just would love to.
And I think the AFL might think that.
I will speak to Bernard and say to him, Bernard, and in the cold light of day on a Monday, when you're watching the vision again, are you going to ground for that long or are you just going to stand
Jim,
there?
Jim, this is a headline you're creating here. I didn't know you were going to go down this path. You're saying he sooked it up and staged it.
I'm
yes, you are.
Saying that.
A couple of weeks before, he was into Rory Sloane and whacking him and doing everything. He cops a little one back. I saw that and I'm going, oh, no.
Come on, Bernard. Even the boys during the coverage of the game. Was it Sevens game? I think it was. Even they went with a package of about three of them and said, now, Burn, just keep your feet, please. We don't need blokes going to ground on the back of that. But the jumper punch is something I do agree with, as in it is accepted in the game, and I'm not sure why. Because because you got a hold of someone's jumper doesn't mean you can then build it in the head.
No, it doesn't.
They seem to allow it.
Well, it is allowed, and that was allowed last week when Cotchin hit Neale. The chief executive of the AFL today, Gillon McLachlan, danced around the specifics of the Cotchin situation. And clearly when he spoke, the Cunnington decision hadn't been handed down. But he talked in generics here. You can see his view and we'll get back to it in a minute.
I think I can talk in broad terms and be unequivocal, although I don't like punching in our game. And I don't feel it's the look we want. And to the point, to the extent that our rules don't provide for it, we'll look to change them.
But my take, Jim, is they do provide for it. As you have the conduct assessment as intentional and not careless. If that was intentional last week with Cotchin, I would argue it was intentional with Cunnington. If you
Cunnington
it careless,
wasn't a jumper punch. That's a different thing, I think. What I'm talking about is when you're wrestling with someone.
Yep.
I think Tom Hawkins. There was one last year that he got away with, where you're wrestling with someone. You got a piece of their jumper each, and you're doing that pushing and shoving. Mm. And then while you've got a piece of the jumper, you then punch
Tom
someone.
Tom Hawkins
in the head.
Got 2 weeks down to one.
Well, so. That's
the inconsistency.
Yeah, so that's the thing I don't like seeing. I think they should actually stamp that out.
Okay, I put both issues, the jumper punch and the stomach punch, in the same bracket as something that we as an industry should not be stomaching. And Gil hides behind the rules saying that they need to change them. But the rules are there. Just make it intentional.
Okay, so therefore,
not careless.
Let me ask you this then. We often, in our commentary box, obviously, right at the halfway mark of the ground, before the game's even started, you'll see two wingmen standing there next to each other, just belting each other as hard as they can in the guts, and they just trade two or three, and then the game starts and they push off and run in. Hmm. You think to yourself, is that actually allowed? Yeah. Like, are you allowed to do that or not? But because no one goes to ground because they're both doing it and then the game just starts, we never hear.
No, we don't do
it. So I don't know what the position is on it. Is, I guess, what I'm saying in a roundabout way. I've got no idea whether that's legal or illegal.
Yeah, and if it gets blown up and picked up by the media in a way that the Cunnington one was and the Cotchin one was too, it's obviously then.
If that happens out here on Clarendon Street, people.
Well, that's my point.
And there's a policeman anywhere near.
That's it.
You get hauled in.
Look at Georgie Colombaris, Jim.
Georgie. out here on Clarendon
Well, you can on an AFL grounds, Jim. It's all okay.
Battery. I'm hearing what you're saying.
Okay.
Headlines, anyway, on Triple M website. Brayshaw slams Vince.
He is a great mate of mine, Bernie Vince. If any of our social media people
Ronnie,
put that up.
Ronnie's onto it now.
Bogan, don't you even think about
it. Own your comments, Jim.
Don't you
own
even
your
think
comments.
About it, but Bernard, please.
Well, we're going to text him after this.
I am texting him now. Go on.
Yeah. Sam Rowe, before we move on to the positives, Bill, it is a negative for him, unfortunately. Confirmed today by Carlton that the knee injury he sustained yesterday against Fremantle is is a season-ending injury. It's an ACL, and there's a bit of confusion, Jim, around how and when it was done. Now, the doctors and the medicos are saying, as they would say, that the initial knock he got on the knee was not the precursor to the ultimate injury he sustained, and I'll let them play that out publicly. We know they're very defensive when you dare question the medical side of things.
But he came back onto the ground.
Yes, after initially damaging it. And again, we'll take them at their word, but it is the same part of the knee that ultimately now sees him out for at least the remainder of this year and hopefully not longer than that. I've been very critical, Jim, of Collingwood. I'm going to put them as number one positive today on the back of that comeback from 43 points. And it could have gone either way, but couldn't it? When you're 43 points down, Nathan Buckley, one thing about him, and we sometimes criticise him for it, he is just going to stick with his ways, isn't he? And he could have changed the team around. He chose not to. He chose to go into the second half, Bill, with what he had set up in the first half, which did not work.
No, but it did after,
half-time.
Well, they ran through the middle. They just ran and took the game on, didn't they? And what about the booing at in that first quarter? It was embarrassing from the Collingwood supporters.
It was awkward to watch, wasn't it, on the TV? And the post-broadcaster, look, they did what they had to do. They were building up the narrative, weren't they, around the disaster of a Collingwood loss. And that's just their job. I mean, again, as it turned out, in so doing, the turnaround and the comeback became even more significant than it would have been. Yeah,
absolutely. No, they were very good.
But well done. And they've now got a chance against Brisbane. You'd expect them to win, wouldn't you, given that Brisbane has now strung together eight losses to go to 4-6, and that's a far better situation, Bill, obviously, than 2-6.
I know we're not being good, but Brisbane. But anyway, we're not being good.
This is a positive bit.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know we need to talk about them. Geelong, I want to throw them in too, boys, because there was some serious heat upon them, wasn't there, after the previous 3 weeks, but they responded the way they told us they would. I had some doubts, but obviously it was led by the two main men, Bill, and you don't even need to mention them anymore, do we? Dangerfield and Selwood.
But Zach Smith in the ruck, the big fella, took control, and Duncan had 18 tackles, and Murdoch had 8 and 9.
I'm really glad for Harry Taylor too to finally get onto the scoreboard, because I've liked what they've done, Jim. I don't know whether you've seen it, but I just feel that even though he hasn't been kicking goals, I think it's assisting Hawkins and other people.
Look, I agree. I like it.
So, and you, we had a good chat with him, didn't we, on Saturday? Yes. And he's a very strange man.
He's a great man. I love how
he likes to kick high because the goalposts are thinner at the top.
That's
Do you think they are, Bill?
They are. Well, there's padding at the bottom,
right?
Obviously. Yeah. So they're a bit thicker at the bottom and they're thinner. They go thinner at the top.
Do they? They go thinner at the top.
Yeah.
The post itself.
Have a good look.
There's more room for the ball to go through.
There's no padding.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
Freo.
And they're not as thick.
Yeah. Six of the last seven now.
Six last seven. We sat here, didn't we, after round two, and we were querying Ross Lyon's time and why would they contract him for 5 years as they did last year. And
the worst side
what were they doing? Well, they've done really well, haven't they? And again, they just did what they had to do. Yep. And in fact, most of the six wins that they've got, they've just found a way. Yep. And even yesterday, they were four goals down against Carlton at one stage, and you still expected them to come back. But
two
I think
players
you've got to
there,
give
Damon.
It credit.
Brad Hill, who you like.
Yes, I do
like
Brad
You've
Hill.
Been on him for a while. He's been.
And my other one is Walters.
Walters, who was pigeonholed as a forward.
Yeah.
And Roscoe said, get up in the middle. These last 3 weeks have been outstanding.
Yeah, and he was already, wasn't he, but one of the elite half-forward flankers, wasn't he? And look, he had probably a mixed year last year. Prior to that, he was very, very, very good. And yeah, the other string to his bow now has been been good. Yeah. Swans, I don't know how they got themselves to 0-6 on what we've seen in the past 3 weeks. They fixed up North last week, having finally got their first win against Brisbane, but they did a number on the Saints, didn't they? I mean, you caught it, Jim. And look, the Saints did okay to hang in there at times, but ultimately the better team won that game convincingly. Kennedy, who probably hasn't quite reached the significant heights of his past, has still been very solid. Not argued he's leading the best and fairest quite clearly.
Yep.
Very good again. Hannabury's out of his lull, isn't he now?
Yep,
and
he's better.
There's no coincidence that their best performance this year came on the back of Dane Rampey coming back into that team. And he's just going to get better.
And Lloyd, too. These blokes, Cunningham, and Cunningham's out for six. That's disappointing.
Yes, they've got a foot injury, so I hope it's not more than that. Need to put your boys, Jim, North Melbourne, into the positives in a very significant way. Yeah, that was a tough win, wasn't it?
I said to Bill Wynn, Friday or Thursday, I really liked the side we picked, and I thought we'd win the game. I don't know what it is about Melbourne, but North always play well against Melbourne. I think 16 straight is the longest streak active in footy, one team over another.
Yep.
I love Sean Higgins, by the way, because they went after him, and he's had question marks, I think, unfairly over his career of not handling that particularly well. I thought he handled it brilliantly.
Yeah.
He stayed aggressive in the face of it. He kept piling in, putting his head in the furnace. I thought he did a very, very good job.
And Ben Brown. We like Ben Brownie.
He's kicked another five goals. Have a look. He's not far off the lead in the Collingwood medal. He's on 26, Bill. The lead, I think, is 31 of Cameron. And given, Jim, that the 4 years he's been in the system, he has not done a preseason. No. So I really admire the way he gets himself ready for the games themselves.
I tell you what North Melbourne can do, Purple, and I don't even need to see any statistical evidence to back this up. I'm not talking about currently in the competition. I'm talking about in the history of the AFL stroke VFL. They miss more set shots
North?
Than any club in the history of the game.
I think you could argue Richmond watching.
And
we'll get to Richmond on the other side of the song.
I watched the two middle quarters of that. I reckon they missed eight in a row, nearly North.
Right.
Higgins, who's a very, very good set shot, four of them.
It could have
Browning
been
himself
bed,
missed
earlier.
Three. Yeah. Just horrendous. Yeah. I don't know what the hell goes on down there.
Mm. Josh Kennedy and Jeremy Cameron on 31.
Essendon, very good.
Yeah,
they're
just
a
before
great
we
story.
Do go to the song, I think what we've seen with Danaher, isn't it, that three of his past five games have been, I think you can use the word extraordinary, in the context of a 79-game career. You just now really look forward to what lies ahead in the next 150, don't you? He's now arrived officially, and I know that people might have said he might have arrived, you know, 2 years ago, but he's there now. That past 5 weeks, very, very good.
Oh, I love it. And I love what they're doing with Tip and Woody. I love Razzle Dazzle.
And Hurley. He's back to the All-Australian, isn't he?
And Merritt last year, who stood up in the absence of all the stalwarts, has just gone again to another level with the stalwarts back in the Seaman team. And Watson too. There was some talk and doubt. He was rested 2 weeks ago. Just, I won't say he's back to his best because he probably never will be again, but there's some spark back in his face, isn't there, as much as there is in his actions.
And they're a good team to watch. They played nice footy, Essendon. They'll probably sneak into the bottom half of the eight, you get the feeling.
Well, the form of what they've now shown in the past 2 weeks, I think they're in that mix.
All right, we need to take a break, and then on the other side, the stuff that's not as good.
Bill's favourites.
Old negative guts.
Damo's Recovery for Coates Hire. Help make your job happen. 13 15 52 or coateshire.com.au. James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless and Damien Barrett.
For Coates Hire, of course. Now the Tigers. Just finding a way at the minute to put a flamethrower through the heart of their millions of fans.
We'll give them the round 7 loss narrowly, won't we, to the Western Bulldogs, because I don't think they did a lot wrong then. Yep. We're not going to give them any leeway in what happened in round 8 against Fremantle and even less leeway in what happened on the weekend against GWS. They missed goals they should have kicked. They absolutely embarrassingly butchered again, Jim, trying to defend a lead with 1 minute
if
to go.
If they win those three games, they're on top of the ladder. They're on top of the ladder.
I know, Bill, but once you throw the word if into a conversation, it just does not wash for me.
Yes.
And what I'm most intrigued about, Jim, is the coach. Now, I know sometimes you present publicly a very different story to the one you present privately, but when he says things like this, it just makes me shake my head.
You can look at it both ways. We've lost to the Bulldogs by a kick. We've lost to GWS by a kick. I walk away as a coach incredibly proud of our boys. Players, when they come to play, they give great effort, great intent. Really disappointed we lost. We should have won. There's no doubt about that, but I thought the intensity and effort our guys gave was really high.
Now, I would not be using the word proud in any context after the past fortnight of football if I'm Damien Hardwick. And I'll be going a step further if I'm Richmond Footy Club and got any control down there, Brendan Gale. Just calling Damien Hardwick in and say, Damien, there is nothing for you or your players to be proud of in the last 2 weeks. And I don't mean that quite seriously, because they are, Bill, in the throes of yet again throwing away a season of footy with their ineptitude and their inability to handle the tense situation, Jim.
Frustrating.
What will be frustrating them is exactly that. They do so much right in a game of footy.
They're playing pretty good footy, Jim.
And then they get to the actual bit that matters and then cock it up. Mm-hmm. And that must be killing them, because so much, if it's 100 points of game, 92 of those 100 points, you've got to be, as a Richmond person, pretty happy with what you're seeing. But then you get to the three-foot putt and you can't roll it in.
We're just conditioned. I can only imagine what it's like to be a supporter, because we, as neutral people watching the game, you're just conditioned to something happening, aren't you? I mean, we knew it was going to happen against Fremantle. We knew it was going to happen against GWS, and it does, and they just roll on. And
I was listening to it in the car. The Triple M boys did a very good call, and as that goal that was eventually disallowed got them to 8 points up at the time, we thought.
Yeah.
I thought, they'll still lose this. They'll find a way to lose this, Richmond.
You should have seen Channel 7. They had Mick and Richo on, and it was live right then because it was a twilight game. They could not believe it.
They broadcast that.
It was live and they were on the panel, but they couldn't give a stuff about what they're supposed to be talking about. They were watching the game.
Mind you, here's me saying that. My mob can find a good way to lose close games too.
It can and has this year.
Yeah, so we can also do it. Don't worry about
that. What's happening, Western Bulldogs? With Libber, my friend.
Few concerns, aren't there, Bill? Yeah. When you got Luke Beveridge the morning after the Friday night loss to Geelong saying things, and again, he did it really well, Luke Beveridge, and he always does when he presents publicly. He just put into the conversation the work rate and the preparedness of Tom Liberatore to just do what he'd always done up until this point of his AFL career, and that is obviously a question mark on him coming out of the premiership year and just the manic, obsessive nature that got them to where they got to last year. I think he's questioning it not just in Liberatore but a few others as well.
Adam Simpson's got some concerns.
Yeah, a lot, because they've now been embarrassed three times in Melbourne, twice at the MCG, now at Etihad, and I think he'd just take them out of any form of calculations. I've wanted to embrace what they did, and I always took the view, Jim, until yesterday, that it didn't matter what they did in Melbourne because you could get there, and they're probably still going to finish top four, but they can't come to Melbourne knowing what they've put up this year in Melbourne and expect to shape a season.
They got a disease over here.
I think I said on Triple M Footy nearly a month ago, Purple, that a good mate of mine who's very influential in footy over there said that Freo will finish higher than West Coast.
I think that was a big claim every month ago.
Well, it wasn't mine, it was this bloke. But
I think he brings it up every week.
Well, no, too, given what's happened in the last 6 weeks.
Tom Mitchell, by the way, 50 possessions. Yeah. And yet cops some ridicule on field.
I'm intrigued by it because... And I love the way both coaches handled it post-match. Alistair Clarkson, very defensive and praiseworthy, and rightly so. And Nathan Buckley also, rightly, in his mind, querying the quality of the possession. I'm really keen to see what the Coaches Association votes are. Yes. We haven't got them as we speak. They normally lob about now, don't they, Bill, on a Monday?
I'll tell you what, Bucks won't be giving five.
He won't be giving five, will he?
No. In fact, might be coming in now. I think Jill
here
them,
comes so. Julie. Here yeah, she right. goes. She might yeah, have
well,
these.
You keep padding and I'll...
You do that, Bill. Yeah. But I love the debate around it. And then he gets sort of sledged, or not sledged, but critiqued adversely for not having high numbers in metres gained.
Yes.
But that's not his role, is it? He goes and gets the ball. Here we
10
go, Bill.
Votes to Scott Pendlebury.
Yep.
5 votes to Jeremy Howe, who's having a great year.
He is.
5 votes to Tom Mitchell. And I reckon they would have been 5 from Clark. Oh, no, he couldn't.
No,
he's 5 each to Pendlebury.
He got 3 and 2 from, probably 3 from Clark.
Or 4 and 1.
Or 4 and 1. He might have got a 4 and 1.
5 to Tom Mitchell. Yeah, Treloar 5, Tyler Adams 4 and side bottom 1.
It's a great debate though, isn't it?
Yep.
It's a great debate. And Nathan...
it's been going on for a long time. Yep. I'm just going to say Peter Featherby, no. Toby Bairstow.
Bairstow.
Everyone used to say that about him, didn't they? Yeah. He'd get 40, 50 positions but do nothing with him, which I think was unfair.
Didn't like what happened with St Kilda. Prepared to let them off. They got the Bulldogs this week, Jim, but it just to me wasn't a good sign with what they dished up against the Swans. You guys called it beautifully as always. Yeah. And, yeah, the story within the story, Paddy McCartan, didn't work out for him this week, but I'd expect him, in fact, you'd think he would have to be guaranteed a second week in a row of AFL.
I know we're running out of time, and I know we're doing the negatives, but what about the Bud? That kick off a step,
one step
from 55 out, there's not another player in football that can make that work.
It was off a step, almost leaning backwards.
Yeah, going the other way. Right. I mean, how do you do that?
You'd have done a knee.
He's a freakish talent.
Travis Cloke play this week?
It's going to be interesting given the free kick he gave away early in that last quarter
first goal.
Luke Beveridge clearly wasn't happy.
And your favourite, Damo, where's the bus? All buses.
Okay, we've got one in that Olympic Park precinct, Bill. We're just going to move it across from one side of the road to the other. So from the Collingwood side of that Swan Street area across to the Punt Road ground itself. We just don't like what we're seeing there.
And
that other bus we've got in motion, we use every second week, it's going back over to Perth.
Back over the
West Coast.
West Coast.
It was there for Fremantle in round two. We sent it after they lost their second game in the MCG to West Coast, and it's going back there after this horrific loss to Essendon yesterday. And it might stay there for a bit.
Infectious disease. They've got to send a doctor or
really?
Something.
Really? What have they got? What is it? Are they
some pleurisy or something. I don't know what it is. When they
the
land
symptoms?
In Melbourne.
Bird flu.
No, it's a Melbourne flu. I don't know what it is. There's something over here.
Bernie Vince is not happy either.
Where is he?
Oh,
come on,
Bernie.
Start texting me. I want to hear from him. He's on a bloody other station.
He's got a greyhound.
You questioned his morals, his
come
ethics,
on.
His way of life,
worry,
his manlyhood.
When we go and have our dinner, it'll be coming up soon.
I'm
we'll be splitting him right down the middle on it.
I'm with Bernie.
The bloody
I'm with Jim.
Doing. All right, thanks for that, Purple.
See you, boys.
That was Damo's recovery session.
Well done, Purple.
Coats Hire will help make your job happen. 13 15 52 or coatshire.com.au. Triple M.
Now, Willis.
Oh, Jim.
The Saturday rub.
Yes.
If you're not already listening to it, you must from midday on a Saturday.
Just before this. That interview with Harry Taylor was very good,
fantastic.
Too.
Fantastic. Yep. He's a good boy.
He is, yeah.
But Bristol's Vault. This is a box of tapes of interviews he did in the early 90s that got dropped off to this station. No one knew where it came from. Mm. Luke, our producer, said, he rang me in the off-season, said, he won't believe what's arrived here.
So what kind of little...
Oh, I gather like DAT tapes almost, you know, the old style.
Yeah.
Anyway, the contents of which are some of the funniest stuff ever, and mainly because this is Bristol's first time as a broadcaster.
Straight out of 40.
Just finished Collingwood.
Yeah, yeah.
So have a listen to the way he introduces Shane Heal.
5 seconds, Shane Heal. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, basketball is drawing to a close, as well as the football. Starting to get down to the very exciting stage indeed. And on the line now to talk about basketball this weekend. In fact, start again.
Indeed.
Shane Heal in 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, no.
Indeed.
Come on, Bristol. So just a bomb in the middle of the introduction there.
So Shane was obviously listening at the other end. Yeah.
He was, and just could be the longest introduction of all time, of which he slaughtered it halfway through. But then boxer Jeff Malcolm, who I'd never even heard of.
I've never heard of him, Jim.
But a lot of the stuff in this tape, in this box, is from the square circle.
Yeah.
He, of course, spoke to Thomas the Hitman Hearn, spoke to George Foreman. He gets to Jeff Malcolm, and just have a listen to the answer Jeff gives to Bristol's question.
Well, Jeff, you'd be pretty excited about this fight. Age 35 years old, I mean, is it a little bit late to be fighting for a world title?
No.
No?
No.
You're pretty confident with the way that you can go?
Very confident, yes.
And why such a late challenge? I mean, as I say, 35 years old. I mean, it'd be great if you could win it. You would be the oldest Australian ever to win a world title. It would be sensational stuff. But why didn't you get the chance earlier? You there, Jeff? Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Oh, no. I would have hung up too.
He hung up too.
I'm telling you, Bill,
now, Jim.
At the end of that, Damo was there, myself, Duck. We couldn't speak
Well,
for
Jim,
5 minutes.
I heard it was coming up on the radio. I was driving around Saturday. I heard it was coming up, so I thought, this is great. I'm going to listen to this. Some bloody idiot rang me, right?
Fool's head rang me.
I'm talking to him, quickly got rid of him, missed it all. But I turned it on when you're all giggling, and all I can hear is Damo actually genuine. You're laughing, Dark. Even Brian, I can hear him chuckling away. And I tell you what that does. That makes you laugh.
I know.
So I'm chuckling along and laughing. Jeez, it's funny when people laugh. That is fantastic.
Bill, it is just, you have to hear it. And there's stuff.
Hello?
There are interviews for the next, like, 20 weeks. There's boxes full of them. And honestly, every time Bristol, his face just goes white. Because he can't believe we got out of the box in the first place. He's like, where the hell are these come from? And then Luke and Maddie and the guys go in there.
He's so straight, isn't he? And he hasn't really got a backup question.
None.
Just first one.
That's it.
And then got a no, and then he's in trouble. And so he actually, was it? Jeff Malcolm just hung up.
Just hung up on him. now, social media, big part of what we do, Bill.
Yeah, some honourable Jim mentions.
Mentions, yep.
Duncan Palmer. Jim, the fact Bernie went straight off the ground was vomiting suggests he wasn't acting.
Come on, Bernard.
And Ash Harvey, who's a regular too. Oh, no, that's well done, Billy. Now, there was another one there that had a go at you too, Jim.
Come
but anyway,
on,
number three, this was an interesting one from Greg Carroll.
Yes.
BT interviewing skills remind me of Billy's first media conference when he was thinking of going into politics.
That's it. With Ian,
what's your
Cover?
Position on the independence of the Auditor General?
Kobe
gave me nothing. Come on, Kobe. Number two, Jim. Yes. Sam Newman as tough as a leather boot, and that's just his face. Nice, Travis Hancock.
That's it, Trav.
And the one that we did like, and I know he's a regular, but I like this one. I had to ask Purple.
Yes.
Agent Chaos.
Oh, he's been one of our regulars for a long time, Chaos.
Purple, speaking of the MRP, is there any fallout from the St Kilda Carlton game a week ago? We haven't heard anything. No. Fines or reports?
No, and haven't there was heard lots happening there, wasn't
anything, yeah, exactly. Which, so I asked Purple and he said, actually, I haven't heard. He's going to make a call.
Yep.
So well done, Agent Chaos. That's got us all thinking. And you have won the magnificent Triple M merchandise pack.
Oh, I like it.
Just got some late mail through on Facebook. Bristol's Vault was like listening to Adele's Hello, Can You Hear Me?
Hello.
Yes. Oh, I tell you, you just got to keep listening. Saturdays from midday, because the vault, it gets better and better and better every week, just as Brian gets angrier and angrier and angrier that they're going to air. Santo Tolaro not far away. Lots to talk to Santo about. Of course, the 20-year, not reunion, but, you know.
What do you call it?
Yeah.
Anniversary.
Anniversary. Well said. Leroy of the Castle, one of the all-time great shows. And, of course, Working Dog years. Responsible for that. How good. Hey, I'll tell you what I did on the weekend, Bill.
What
not for long, but I did for about 20 minutes with my far better half. And that is watched a game of football because I wanted to see the umpire.
No.
Yes.
Who?
Essendon and West Coast. Oh. And I was watching Eleni Glofsis.
Eleni, yes.
And I read here where the debut performance of the trailblazing Eleni Glofsis has received a tick of approval.
Good.
The only issue she had was with bouncing, and she wasn't the only one in the game because they'd replaced that bit of
bad
turf.
Bounce, wasn't it?
Well, they had that replaced bit of turf, Centre of Etihad, so no one was bouncing it well in the end.
And she's a good bouncer.
Threw it up.
She should work at a nightclub.
Other than that, Bill, everything else, but it was amazing because we're trying to work out where she was on the ground.
Yeah. No, she's good.
What a brilliant thing that is.
Well, she's the best person for the job.
And that's it. And she'll go around again. Exactly. And that is exactly as it should
be.
We
like that. Now, you've got a feel. You really got a feel for Sam Rowe, who we spoke about last week. And we like the way he goes about
it. Testicular cancer. Exactly. That Jesse Hogan's dealing
with. Well, he's out for a year now. He's at right knee. Actually went back on the field. But he's done the ACL there. So our wishes to go out to Sam Rowe, who's a really good bloke. A couple others. Cockatoo there at Geelong. He's out for a couple of weeks, Jim. James Ace, you see that one? Oh, he copped a big one and looks like he fractured his cheekbone. He's out for a while.
Head clash.
Yeah. Jack Nunes, another one. He's playing his 100th game, Jim.
And Callum Mills, they both went nice and hard at that, didn't they?
And it was good to see that they had a look at that, the MRP, and let that one go.
Also, you should. They both turned their body. They did everything right.
Exactly.
It was just one of those very, very tough clashes that, by the way, we need to remember happen in footy.
Yeah, they do.
You don't have to play the game, Bill.
That's right. Exactly, and that's why you like the MRP. Let it go through the keeper.
Well,
and Harry Cunningham, who will miss 6 weeks, he's playing some really good footy with Sydney. And the coaches' award, the votes are in for the weekend. And we took particular interest in the Hawthorn-Collingwood game.
Mm-hmm.
10 votes to Scott Pendlebury and 5 votes to Tom Mitchell, who had 50 touches,
50.
Jim.
That's extraordinary.
I'll tell you what, he was good early. He got them and he dished them out.
Yep.
How good were the Hawks? Gee, what's that
I
game?
I know. It was amazing. Mate, and then they were as good as they were bad.
Bad, yeah. Well, and the booing from Collingwood. Gee. What was the score at quarter time? 6-1 to 1 behind.
Yeah, they were 43 points up at one stage.
Geez, so
an amazing comeback from the Pies.
Mm.
But Clarko will be scratching his head as to what the hell happened. They've gone from total dominance to not being able to touch it.
Hey, tell you what I haven't heard from, Jim. Old dickhead Todd from Barwon Heads, who had a go at the Cats, remember?
Simmons Stadium.
Had a go at Simmons Stadium, which was magnificent on Friday night. Yes. Haven't heard from you, Toddy. Where are you?
Right. We got Todd on the line from Barwon Heads.
Simmons, mate.
Todd. What I want to know, Bill.
Where is Todd?
I'll tell you what's drifted back to me, because I haven't been down to the new setup.
Oh, Jim.
So you spend, what, $90 million? What's the new stand?
$91 million.
$91 million.
I think.
Yep. And brilliant. And now the Cats have got the most state-of-the-art sort of area to do their thing, almost in football.
The football department is,
and they've got their own sort of area, which is just unbelievable. Yeah. Palatial is the word I use.
Yes, palatial.
So, because you spent that $90 million on what you've done there with the Cats, the opposition would have a fair bit spent on what they've got over there. Because when I was the chairman and had to go down to Simmons Stadium with North, what was over the other side was a disgrace.
Yeah.
Like tiny. No, so, you would have spent a lot of money on that.
Not a cent.
Oh!
Bill! We put a board up so you don't get the sun in your eyes. There's a board over the coach's box so you don't get the sun in your eyes, Jim.
I'll tell you what that's as bad as.
What?
What they used to have out at Moorabbin when you played, when they had no hot water for the opposition team.
You walk
team.
In there, cold, spat on, and you go to have a shower and they go, no hot water.
Bill, you're basically doing that at Simmons.
Yeah. No, I think it's okay, Jim. I haven't... Actually, no one's been over that side of the ground. We've only concentrated on one side of the ground.
I'm telling you, yeah. It's not okay.
Not no good.
Okay at all. Oh. So.
I tell you what was interesting on Triple M. I was listening to Harry Taylor. Yes. You know what he said? You know where the Gatorade after the games? And Mark O'Connor was in there because he's played his second game and they won. No Gatorade splashed on the players. You know why?
What?
A mark of respect. Not just for that game and the new facilities, but for the whole year. As Harry Taylor said on your interview, someone's got to clean up that Gatorade after we walk away. So that's good, respectful stuff.
I think it's, well, I don't know if it's directly borrowed, but the All Blacks in New Zealand have got this amazing sort of ethos around sweeping the floor.
Right.
In other words, having respect for everyone involved in the organisation. So you don't leave crap lying around everywhere because someone else has got to come and pick it up. Right. You can just deal with it yourself.
Respectful. And you know what Harry does? I've seen him do this after a game. He folds his jumper up and takes it back to the property steward. You know how blokes just throw it around or throw it in their locker or whatever? Folds it up and takes it back.
Very important, Bill. I know Port Adelaide Football Club are very big on that too. The jumper never hits the floor.
Yeah.
You're never allowed for a Port Adelaide jumper.
Good? It's brilliant. That's what kids should do too.
I totally agree. I liked what I saw with that. Sando Cellaro is going to join us next.
Special guest, Santo Cellaro in studio.
As you said, 20-year anniversary of The Castle, one of the greatest movies ever made. Sando, welcome to you.
Thanks, guys. It's great to be here.
I use that magnificent movie regularly with half-wits like Bill, Santo.
He's not a half-wit.
Because what he does...
No, you're not.
He talks about his pub in Castlemaine. Right. And I say to him, how can you call it Castlemaine? I said, what? Give me the name of the movie. He goes, The Castle. I go, well, how do you pronounce that properly, but not Castlemaine?
That's interesting because in north of the border, most people do call it The Castle.
Yeah. Oh, really?
They do. I think it might be a pronunciation thing.
Yeah,
but,
right. But it's a
don't
castle.
Ask me. I'm Italian. So,
but what 20 years of joy you've given Australians. Oh. It's one of the most quoted movies ever made, The Castle.
Well, look, I love the misquotes from it. That's the best.
Yeah.
You whenever I get together with Curry and stuff, he keeps on telling me, people come and say, oh, mate, how funny are you, mate? I dug a ditch. No, that's not it. It's wrong,
The third tray is a good one in the photocopy.
Look, it was great fun. I can't believe it's 20 years old. Mate, that's crazy.
The quickest made movie too, nearly. And nice money, mate. For a bloody 11 days' work, fair dinkum, you couldn't put your hand out, could you?
Fair dinkum. This is how we made it, Billy. I literally went to the Kodak factory in Kobe. Remember when there used to be film?
Yes.
I went to the Kodak factory. We'd just done one series of Frontline, which is a show you would have loved, wouldn't you, Billy?
I certainly loved.
It was a bit highbrow for me. I didn't get...
In other words, you didn't understand.
It was in English, Billy. Yeah. Anyway, so we went there and we had a little bit of money left over, and I said, "How much film can you buy for this?" Yeah. And the guy said, "Oh, about 180 minutes, 200 minutes." And I just did my maths and I thought, if we do a 90-minute film, that's a 2-to-1 ratio.
Yeah,
Billy,
right.
You can get that.
Yeah, 2.
And so we thought, if we make a film and don't do it in more than 2 takes.
No.
We can make a movie.
That's true.
So we went back to our production manager and she said, you know what, you can do this film in 14 days with bad catering or 10 days with good catering. And we went to 10 days with good catering.
What about that?
And that was it.
And is that true that you used Eddie Maguire's black BMW in the show at the corner?
Is that true? It's a true thing. So that's Eddie's car.
So Eddie had when was that? 20 years ago. Eddie's driving around with a Beamer.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. When he was reporting? Was that when he was reporting?
We'd already been doing shows on Triple M for Brekkie up until the early 90s. So, he was already making coin by then. Billy.
With quarters? Yeah. Quarters would have been
Michael Caton, of course, the dad, the legend. I did that Grand Prix race with him.
Oh, yeah.
And I sat in the bus one day with him talking about exactly that. And he said the whole shoot took the most incredibly short amount of time. And he said, I don't remember any of the quotes people come up and say.
Is that right?
He said, and it happens to him every day.
Well, he and Bud were amazing in that shoot because we were, Sitchie and Tom and
Bud
I
Tingwell
and Jane.
And
Bud Tingwell, of course. Yep. We were so busy doing stuff that if there weren't some, real leaders within that, it's almost like being a coach and having a guy like Nick Maxwell or something out on the field being your own lieutenant. So they were fantastic out there. And, geez, just great memories for
me. Oh, yeah.
Nick just Maxwell. Great memories.
Well, a massive Collingwood fan. We can get to that now.
What a goal, Joel Selwood or something.
Now, you were at the game on the weekend.
All our teams won on the weekend, so we all kicked a goal. That's a line from the
Castle. But you went along. Yeah, you went along to the president's
lunch. Billy, for the first time, I've never... And you guys are used to the high-flying lifestyles of footy, But I've never been to a president's lunch or dinner, nor have I been down into the rooms before.
Ooh.
So Eddie kindly invited... Eddie's been very good to me in the past, and we've been to great events that he's organised. I didn't know I had to basically, sit there. I didn't realise.
Buy raffle tickets?
I had to, a bit of that bizarre.
He wouldn't have liked that.
Anyway, so as we all know, things didn't quite go to script after the first quarter. Nice. So things are travelling south pretty quickly.
Yep.
We'd only kicked a point by then. And I basically didn't approach Ed at all. We know you keep away, your distance.
Yep.
But then at half time, things didn't get all that much better. I think we're 40-odd points behind. Mm. And you all go back to your table and there's no avoiding it. You're sitting there.
That's it.
So the guy next to Eddie's not, you know, the CEO of, you know, Emirates or whatever, he's not giving any, you know, he could have given away, you know, six first class tickets and Eddie wouldn't have reacted.
No.
And, you know, on the other side, there's the, you know, the Hawthorn president pretending not to smile.
Yeah,
he's doing that one.
Yeah,
and, you know, Mrs. Goldsacker's there, she's not helping at all.
Oh, no.
So you feel, you had to say
something.
You've got to say something.
Oh, no.
And, you know, as blokes, I think we've been in situations, but we've been to funerals and we've helped out blokes that are in trouble, all that kind of stuff.
What? So it's like a funeral, you're saying?
It was funereal. It was funeral-like. So I've looked at Ed and I'm going, you're right, Ed. And he's nothing's coming back. So already the wheels are going around his head. Yep. What do I do?
Shut everything. Up, would be.
And you know those moments? I mean, you guys like have segments on this show. It's like faux pas. What did I say? I can't believe I said that.
Idiot.
I reckon there should be a segment called I Live to Tell the Tale.
Yes.
Because out of my mouth, you know, sometimes you just trust what you say and go, if I just say it, it'll be all right.
Yeah.
So out of my mouth came the words, hey, Ed, it doesn't matter.
Oh, you did not say that.
And so as I'm saying that, I'm floating above my own body going, did I just say those words? And so Eddie's looked at me and he's just going, it does.
Yeah, it actually does.
And therefore, and then, so for the past, I reckon for the past 48 hours, I can't even enjoy the win because it keeps replaying in my head.
It doesn't matter.
I said that to Eddie Maguire. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I said that. I said those words, Bill.
Luckily they won.
Oh, mate, lucky they won.
Because you would not be invited back ever.
I don't think I am going to be invited back ever after that. It was a great night, though. It was sensational.
What about that? They get invited when they don't know and the girls come around with a raffle. And it's $50 a ticket too. And they go, and you got it because you're there free. You actually got to do. And you go, oh, yeah, how much? I'll have a couple of tickets. How much are they? $50. You go, who wants to share one?
All right, we're going to take a break with you, Santo. Plenty more after this.
From the Santo, Sam and Ed Total Football Podcast, Santo Chilaro with us.
Mm-hmm. What's that about, Santo?
Do you know what a podcast is, Billy?
Yeah, we do them after the footy show. So I'm slowly getting into
them. It's one of those things that, every time Sam Pang, Ed Cavalli and I try and stop doing our show about football, about soccer, we just can't succeed in not doing it.
Mm.
You know, so we began doing it in 2010 for SBS for the World Cup.
Yes.
And then we went on and did it on Channel 7 for Sports Fever. And then we even filled in here, I remember, during the Olympics.
Yeah.
And we did it on Fox Sports. And every time we try and stop doing it, we keep texting jokes and stuff to each other to the point that we go, you know what, we just keep doing it as a podcast. And now the ABC have seen it and said, well, if we stick cameras in there, like four or five cameras, it can actually look like a TV show. So we're doing it as that podcast and on iView on the ABC. So it actually looks a bit like a television show rather than just a one camera.
So how do people access it, please, Santo?
I don't know. you go to iTunes, I think, for the podcast.
Oh, nice.
And you go to the ABC website and then you go down to iView and I reckon you can access it that way. Have you been paying attention? Would never have happened. That's the other show that we do on a Monday night.
Which is flying.
Had it not been for, as we spoke before, about filling in for the 2 weeks when you're away to the London Olympics, and Billy, you were doing your cashies in the Ovens Valley, I'm presuming.
Yeah, no, Geelong and Golden Valley.
Sorry, Valley. And so we were doing a show called Going for Gold, and every show, Tommy G had come in here and actually do a little quiz at the end, and it was our favourite part of the show. And afterwards, we said, "I tell you what, that wouldn't be a bad TV show in this." So if it wasn't for us coming in here,
nice.
Hey, how good was those Olympics? Do you remember the kayaker? Was he the Latvian?
Or some bloody, some Northeastern European country.
You were the best. Because you used to call that, and it was sometimes quite thankless, but that guy, it was a guy who used to basically go out 20 lengths ahead
and then
die.
Fall off a cliff.
He was the best guy.
It was one of the countries attached to Russia. I will remember it before, you know, when Russia split up into a whole lot
You're right, it was Kazakhstan or one of those ones.
Oh, it's just so funny. And he was like a Goliath. yes. down to the waist, and then he had legs
like that, Dermot.
Yeah, exactly like Dermot. Exactly like Dermot. Just two.
So
too
those
funny.
Were the days. So anyway, so we're still doing that, and you know, it's still with Sam Pang, Triple MZ Cavalry. So it's great fun.
Your son Ben and yeah. my son Henry were at school together.
They
very
were.
Very good boy, Ben.
In fact, what your girls as well, Billy.
Yes, yes. And the grammar.
That's it.
How bloody expensive is that?
A bit of coin there, Bill.
Oh,
should have done. That's why you did all your cash.
Little Bird tells me that you're actually now going to the gym with Ben. Is this true?
Here's the kind of, this is the embarrassing thing. Billy, I don't know whether you've done this or you, James. Mm-hmm. I've recently started going to the gym. I've tried to go to the gym as often as I can, but now the boys come with
you
me.
Sure?
Yeah, I know. It's head above water stuff. Look, he's looking to give me the...
Have a look at Nottingham.
All right, I do more Pilates than I do gym. Yes. Okay, all right, we got that straight?
Yes.
And so anyway, so I'm going with the boys now, and it's quite dangerous because you have to pretend that you're a lot stronger than you actually are so to impress. So,
can't get the little weight down the end.
No, you've got to go the big one. Mm. And the boys look up and they go, geez, Dad, you look like a bit puny, but you know, you're stronger than me. So to impress them, you end up coming home with an injury all the time.
And then you wake up the next day and you can't move your arm.
That's right, can't move it all. I can't even do Pilates.
That's like you, Jim. Oh, no, spindle shanks over there.
How would you go with your boys, James?
Well, mine are, as I said to them the other day, quoting my own father, Sandro, they wouldn't work in an iron lung, mind you. So they wouldn't know the inside of a gym, either of them. But Jono, actually the eldest, is a surfer, so he's got some natural sort of fitness around that. Henry, God knows what's going on with him.
But I'm guessing it's like racing your kids, and there's a certain age you can't race them anymore. Yes. Otherwise, you do your hammy. So well, there's a limit.
Yeah. I look at my brother more than me because obviously Mark's got Will, who's an officer in the army, and then he's got Angus at Melbourne. Hamish, he's playing for Sandy, and then you've got Andrew, the youngest, who's going to go well in this draft coming up, I hear, and he's head of sport captain of sport at Halebury. So they're just one of those annoying, overachieving type groups
and
of kids.
Can your brother compete, or is he out of it?
Oh, he's put the queue in the rack.
Well, that's a good feeling.
Yeah.
He just said, I can't
compete. Depends what
Q.
Yep. I just want to say, you know, you're talking about the awning at Geelong.
Yeah, an awning over the visitors, coaches.
The best story I ever heard. I heard a person who used to play Gaelic football in Ireland, and they said that the facilities were so bad that some guy got taken off on a stretcher, and then someone else got injured, and there was no other stretcher. So they literally had to rip the door off the dunny in the dressing room and take the person out on a door.
And how cold too. Mark Bickley playing for Australia when Gary Lyon was the coach, for Australia in that hybrid game, international rules, broke his leg, played the rest of the game because it was that cold. He didn't realise.
Then
he went to the hospital later and they said, you actually got a break in your leg.
Well, you know, I was watching the game on Saturday. When Aish got injured, did he realise how injured he was? He looked like he said...
But you feel it, I think. It's a fractured cheekbone. And it was indented. You could see it, couldn't you?
Well, not from where I was. I was still thinking about what I'd said to Eddie.
And what was Eddie saying too? Was he happy?
Eddie was very happy. But although I think he felt like treating me like Ace just got treated out on the field.
He would have loved it.
But just in my experience with that, which is 10 years worth of experience, I tend to gravitate to Carla in those moments.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, beautiful Carls.
Or the kids. Yeah, I'll talk with the kids. Yeah.
And then after the game.
Just let Ed do his thing and just go over to Carla and say, how's everything going anyway, Carla?
I heard you gave Bucks a hug.
I can't. I think I did.
I
certainly gave Anthony Rocker a hug.
In the change rooms, and you're hugging the coach.
You got to do that, don't you? Isn't that part of the?
Did he say piss off, Tom?
We should explain that. That was when Tom Gleisner was walking into Logies and Bill thought he was you. And said it was good catching up the other day. No, that was actually
the other guy.
Well, it was good of you to know that it wasn't you.
No, that's good.
If you work that out.
No one can work that out.
he knew it wasn't him, it was Tom.
Guys, is it always the same? When you walk into the dressing room, it's a wonderful feeling, but it's slightly underwhelming to see how the players are like kids.
Yes.
How young.
Look like you're sitting around there and you're going, oh. Is that Steel Sidebottom? He looks like he's, you know, he's just...
Well, and worse than that, when they arrive at the club, they're 17 and 18, and they are legitimately babies.
They're babies.
And they have to go straight out into match sim against, Frito Petrie in my time, who are man mountains.
Yeah.
And I just looked at these kids and thought, this is actually not fair. Are they not? They just can't compete. Well, these are men and seasoned AFL footballers and these kids.
Well, you see them in their civvies too. You go, that's not him.
That's not him.
He needs a number on his back. But
that's right. Then they look larger than
life. They are so young, aren't they?
They are young. And I also had to go up to Tyson Goldsack and say I sat next to his mum for the game. Nice. And he goes, oh, mate, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, he's a ripper.
One of the great blokes. He's a great bloke. But have you met his mum?
No, I've never
met his mum. She's sensational.
Really?
She looked like him? Got the beard?
On that disgracefully inappropriate note.
He's a great man. 150th too, Tice.
It was. And he played was very not a good. Bad. I tell you what, almost gave away 50 at the end.
Oh, did he?
That wouldn't have gone down well.
It wouldn't have gone down well at all.
Great to see you, Sado. Anytime you want to drop by, please do.
Fantastic.
It's time to have a chat to the Rush Hour family, Jim. We love out there, of course. And I saw some very, very interesting footage today of a sea lion, Jimmy.
Yes.
Very angry sea lion.
I saw that.
Grabbed a little girl off a dock and pulled her underwater. It was unbelievable.
In Canada, pulled her down into the water.
Yeah, in Canada. She was sitting on the edge. She was feeding, I don't know, some fish or what it was in the water. Yep. This sea lion jumped up, grabbed her dress and dragged her into the water.
Yep.
Luckily, a man jumped in and saved the day, so it all finished well. It was all good.
You can see it on Twitter.
Yes, vision on Twitter right now, Jim. And I saw that. And I thought, Jim, you know what I thought, Jim? I'm not going to go with what's bitten you, by the way, because that's just too basic.
No, and you normally what you'd go with.
Exactly. We're more sophisticated here, Jim.
Are we?
So 133353.
Yes.
Hence. What's grabbed you?
Oh,
unusual. Yes, Jim. What has grabbed you unusual, my friend?
You can't go with what's grabbed you unusual.
Mate, a sea lion grabbed this girl. That's unusual.
I know, it's unusual.
Pulled her into the water.
Yeah, just sitting on the dock.
Exactly.
And just ripped her down into the water.
Exactly. So that's unusual, I would have thought.
That is unusual.
So 133353, what has grabbed you unusual? Oh, yes, Jim, look at them. Here they come. Look at them, Jimmy. Here they come.
Talking about what's grabbed you unusual, I'll tell you what's grabbed me unusual.
What?
Went to New York City years ago and very, very jet lagged. So I thought, well, I'll go for a walk to try and stop myself from just curling up on the hotel bed. Went to that DJ Schwartz or whatever it's called, that big toy shop.
Yeah, toy shop.
Walking around there. Suddenly, from behind, I've been bashed over the head with a great big toy dog.
Oh.
By Favola.
Favola was in there.
No idea he's even there.
He stayed there for 3 days.
Grabbed
he loved
in the head. with his hands around Favola. This huge, great big dog. Honestly, I thought this must just happen to every customer in this joint.
They just whack you.
Exactly. 133353 is the number. When have you been grabbed unusual? Usual. And Dylan's first in Pakenham, Bill.
Hey, DD.
Hey, boys. How are you?
What's grabbed you unusual?
I was riding my bike when I was younger and a magpie swooped me and tried to grab my helmet and fly away with me.
Oh, did it actually grab your helmet?
Yeah, it grabbed me helmet.
Tried to fly away with him, Bill.
Petrified of him.
What about when people ride through there and they duck in and weave and they scaredy cats?
No, absolutely.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Ross is also there, Bill.
Hello, Roscoe. He's from Narre Warren. Jim, go, Roscoe.
Afternoon, boys. How are you going?
Good. What's grabbed you?
Merv Hughes.
Oh, no. How? Where?
At the Crown Casino. Just playing a bit of roulette and just got up about $50.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, he's grabbed me by the shoulders, like, mate, chuck it all on red. I'm like, all right, good go with old Merv.
Yep.
Lost everything.
Oh,
old swerving Merv and Hughes. Ash is in Diamond Creek. Hello, Ash.
G'day, guys.
Ash.
What's grabbed you unusual?
A penguin. Ripped my finger open pretty bad and I had to get stitches.
Dinkum. I didn't even know they bit penguins.
Oh, yeah, they bite and they bite bloody hard.
So who grabbed one of them?
The ones at St Kilda.
We're up at Port Douglas.
Yes.
We went to that one of those farms and a duck grabbed Lucy or Ruby.
It's
a funny. They screamed. That's the funniest thing.
All right, Graham joins us in Newport, Bill.
Ah, Grahamy, how are you? What's grabbed you unusual?
Nah, mate, it's Todd from Bowen Head. Simmons is shit out.
Get him off! He said it's Graham here, Jim.
Todd, come back at us.
Where's
from
bloody
Bowen Head.
Oh, Peterkin, Todd. He rang up Jim and said it was Graham.
Oh.
We've got to get his number. I'm going to ban
funny.
Him.
That's
I'm going to blacklist him. He's
I
out.
I like him.
Oh, good Marian. One, Todd, you dick.
Marion's in Melbourne.
Oh, sorry, Marion.
Hello, Marion.
That's okay. Hello.
Sorry you had to hear that from Todd.
That's okay.
Yeah.
What's grabbed you unusual, Marion?
Well, a few years ago, we were having a lovely family picnic down at Gippsland Lake.
Yes.
And a very attractive kangaroo grabbed me, put both of its paws on either side of my shoulder and tried to perform a very lewd act.
Oh, no.
Wow. A good-looking kangaroo, did you
say, Marion? A very attractive kangaroo. Long eyelashes.
Oh, they are.
This I think Marion kind of liked the kangaroo.
Australia's national symbol, Marion, yeah. Of course. Very attractive
and then,
animal.
And then what happened, Marion?
Well, it tried to perform a lewd act on me.
And how did you get out of its grasp?
Did you shoo it away?
No, I had to have some people come and, you know, pull it off.
That's Marion. And
wasn't Ted, was it?
And more tea, Vicar. Matt's in Cranbourne. Hello, Matt.
Marion.
There you go, lad.
What's someone had to you come unusual, Jim? Matty?
Gee, what happened?
No, thank you, Bill.
What they did to the kangaroo?
Yeah, no, I heard that, Bill. And Matty's in Cranbourne.
They've looked after the kangaroo, Jim, haven't they?
Hello, Matt.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How you going?
No, I'm just trying to stop idiot here from going where he shouldn't.
I can't believe they've looked after the kangaroo.
What grabbed you unusual, Matty?
Yeah, mate, when I was in Thailand a few years back, I went to one of those animal parks and I got my photo taken with an elephant and then a tiger cub and went up to get my photo taken with this brown bear and you take up some bananas to feed it and gave it a few bananas and then after the photo went to walk away and it sunk its claws into my shirt and dragged me back and then stuck its nose in my face and snarled at me. Oh. But I had to shove the rest of the bananas up to it and then do the piss bolt when it started eating them. I absolutely crapped myself.
Made a brown bear.
The big brown bear.
Yeah, the big brown bear. They had a chain and a collar on it. Wow. And the guy was whacking it with a cane when I was running off. I absolutely crapped myself.
No, I don't blame you. I would too.
My go, Jim. Wayne's there. He's in Doreen.
Oh, no.
G'day, Wayne.
G'day, mate.
How are you, Chip? Good. What's grabbed you unusual?
Oh, I was spearfishing in Sorrento in the rock pools a couple of summers ago, and I popped my head under a cave, and this octopus grabbed me right on the face mask.
Oh no.
Pooped me pants and ripped me mask off, and there I was gone. Lost me mask and everything. It was a scary situation.
That would be scary.
You didn't want to spear it?
Well, no.
You're not allowed to, or not? Yeah.
Well, it had me head. It wasn't a small octopus.
It's latched onto his head, Bill.
You'd shake it away and then...
No, it was a decent-sized octopus, this one.
Oh, what a little baby.
It wasn't a little calamari.
It was a massive ocky latched onto his head.
It was a little calamari. Couldn't feed two kids.
Michaela, I hope that's it. Michaela's in Cranbourne. Hey, Michaela.
Hi, how you going?
What grabbed you unusual?
When I was about 4 years old, my mum took me to the zoo for one of the first times and we were sitting in like the picnic area enjoying some sandwiches and a pelican attempted to, what I thought at the time, eat me.
No.
So I was running around screaming my head off and my mum was actually standing there pissing herself laughing at me, watching poor little me and grabbed me on the shirt so I threw the sandwich and bolted and it was just after the sandwich.
Oh, Bill, that's funny when pelican. They scream. That's what happened. Pelicans have got their big buddy. What do you call that?
The beak can eat more than its pelican. That's what my grandfather
You know, he can play Melican.
Yes, he can.
Yeah, for Sydney.
Just on another topic. All right. So, fat, not bad.
Oh, very good, Jim.
Not
again.
Topics.
I tell you what, they're very good today.
Yes.
Bit of feedback.
Just heard from Bernard Vince.
Oh, how's Bernard? How's Bernard?
I hear you've been putting SH1T on me, you reckon?
So he's already heard, Jim.
Oh, no. Some low nipsies let him know.
Bit of agent chaos. Very happy with his prize. Unexpected, but very happy. Thank you very much.
Long-term social media man, our chaos.
And Peter Siddle, too. Some feedback there. He liked Marion. He very taken with Marion.
No, I had to have some people come and... pull it off.
Oh, right. Thank you.
Hey, tomorrow, we've got Chris Judd in.
Juddy.
And Shani from Leighton from the Magpies Netball.
Yes, who are in the top four, Jim. The Vixens won on the weekend. They are at top of the ladder.
You can ask her about Mace and how that's going.
How's Coxie?
You can ask that.
Big Cox.
Thank you, Bill. Have you just decided to get them all out of the way in the one show? Have you?
Well, that's
all
his
of the
name,
real
Jim.
Obvious sort of jokes.
That's
you just get
name.
Them all out of the way
Mason
on the one
Cox.
Day. Yeah, no, thank you, Bill.
No, she's
that's tomorrow's
good,
show because she's great. All right. So today, Bill,
and how's Juddy? Has he been behaving or not?
Yeah, no, very good. Looking forward to him coming in tomorrow too. We can find out how the night went at his place last Friday night, or Thursday.
Turned up with that mask that he got from a sex shop.
Yeah, that's it. We can have all of those questions asked by him tomorrow. Right, anyway, Bill. Time to go this way.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
The Melbourne Brick.
They're all off.
They come and go. They come and go with the quality of the judge.
Sheen panels. Melbourne Skidoo.
Bill.
Are me bloody sponsors,
they come
Jim?
And go with the quality of the jokes.
Well, if there's a business out there, a little plumber or something wants to sponsor us, ring in.
All right.
Not sure how much it costs, but...
No. Well, let's just see what this is like.
A soldier ran up to a nun, Jim.
Yes.
None in the morning, none at night. And out of breath, he asked, please, may I hide under your skirt? I'll explain later. The nun agreed. Good on you. A moment later, two police ran up to her and asked, sister, have you seen a soldier? The nun replied, yes, he went that way. So off they went. They took off. The soldier crawled from under her skirt and said, I can't thank you enough, sister. You see, I don't want to go to war in Syria. The nun said, I completely understand. The soldier said, I hope I'm not too rude, but you have a great pair of legs. The nun said, well, if you looked a little higher, you would have seen a pair of knackers. I don't want to go to Syria either.
Oh, no. Oh, Bill.
Oh, he was dressed. Oh, he was dressed as a nun, Jim. God,
thank you, Bill. Yeah, no,
and he had that knackers.
That's it. Yep.
He didn't want to go to Syria.
No, he didn't want to go to Syria. Oh no.
It's not bad.
Where are we at?
That's not bad.
Where are we at?
Good feedback.
Good feedback.
Brendan James Riley. He loved it. Loved it.
Good feedback. He just finished.
Bang! There it is. Amazing chaos. Loved it, Pat.
That was the Rush Hour podcast. Sell your car the right way without the aggro. See how at sellmycar.com.au.